There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Yeah, that's where we are at the moment, down here at Kicker Sports Bar in the heart of Dubai Sports City. Great crowd in here at the moment, enjoying all the latest from the ICC Cricket World Cup. In fact, there are two games ongoing at the moment. Pakistan against Afghanistan, last few balls in that innings.
Yeah, last few balls, and Afghanistan have made 221 for 9. This would be an easy chase, in my opinion, for Pakistan. However, our focus should shift on the Trans-Tasman Derby. That's New Zealand versus Australia. Australia are finding it hard at the moment. They're 36 for 1 after 8.4 overs. The wicket of Aaron Finch, LBW, Trent Bolt.
So that's ongoing over at the home of cricket, which we'll be crossing to shortly. Before that, though, let's preview this game. New Zealand against Australia.
Free time with 10 up. We've had to try and adapt in terms of on the park, but also how we've looked to pick our side. Naturally, it has remained the same throughout, but there has been consideration. So we will have to see the surface and try and pick the best side suitable for what coming up against tomorrow. But they've got a very strong top order. They've been playing really well as well, the Aussie side as a whole. So, you know, naturally you're targeting anyone that's at the crease, basically, and that's what we'll be looking to do tomorrow. But we know that every time we play against Australia, they're a very strong challenge. I think the most important thing is adapting to the conditions. Sometimes I think we've seen in the last few games that looking to blast teams out, perhaps with the use of seam movement and these sorts of things, it hasn't quite been there, and it's been about playing the long game a little bit. So we haven't played at Lord's yet, and we'll just have to assess those conditions. For us, it's just focusing on the cricket that we want to play and try and stick to that to give ourselves the best chance. You know, there are some very strong sides, some highly ranked sides in this tournament, the likes of Australia and India and England and all these perhaps sides that have come into the tournament as favourites, and rightly so, they've been playing really good cricket. But as we know, and every side does, that when you come to a World Cup or any tournament for that matter, that on the day anybody can beat anybody, and we've seen that on different occasions already in this tournament.
Tuesday was so much fun. For us as Australians, it doesn't get any better. Tuesday, England versus Australia, World Cup fixture at Lord's. I mean, it's just, that's our heaven, really. So, and for us to play so well was a great bonus. And then to be here for training now, I mean, look at it, the sun's out. This is my favourite place on Earth, Lord's. So every minute we can spend here is a great opportunity. We've been hurting for a long time. We were losing for a long time. We've turned it around. Winning's addictive. And we want to keep that momentum and that process moving forward. It was great to play. We now play New Zealand. We got great respect for New Zealand, but it's another chance to keep moving forwards. Throughout history, we've had some great success in that dressing room. There's great memories. Pete's up there, the best change room attendant in the world. The bacon sandwiches in the morning are unbelievable. The view is just, so we'll keep that. We'll keep the superstitions and routine. They've got some good players, they've got some dangerous players. Guptill's a very good player, dangerous player. We're going to have to play well against Bolt. We're going to have to play against Southie if he plays. And Kane Williams is no different. We know he's a great player. We respect him. We'll have our plans, though. We'll definitely have our plans, and then it's just a matter of our guys executing it.
It is taking place down at the home of cricket, New Zealand against Australia. Warner and Khawaja, the two men at the crease. In fact, we've got a man at the crease, or certainly not far from the crease. Mr. Mark Archer couldn't be with us here at Kickers today, but is at the home of cricket. Arch.
Good afternoon, guys. Yeah, great time to join me because New Zealand have just taken their second wicket. It's a big wicket as well for the Black Caps. David Warner, the top scorer in the tournament, has just been caught by young Tom Latham behind. And so Australia now are 38-2, having won the toss, elected to bat first on a very hot and balmy English summer day.
You mentioned there about the heat. I'm reading all sorts of reports that it could be the hottest on record as well. Not many better places to be in the world, one would say, on a day like this.
Oh, it's absolutely stunning. I've had to, you know, it's very hot here. Anything above 30 degrees is a heat wave in the UK. It's very important to stay hydrated, Tom. Come out to a place you know well to get a bit of peace and quiet out here, the Harris Garden, where I can speak to you guys with some peace and quiet. But very dangerous part of Perth here at Lord's, but it's a stunning day. Lord's is packed to the brim, and it's a big match between two, you know, very traditional rivalries, New Zealand and Australia.
Two great rivals in the game of cricket, two great rivals in sport in general as well. In terms of the overall standings, both New Zealand and Australia have been very good in this tournament thus far. Will this result today have any impact on those top places at the top of the table?
I don't think so. Australia have already booked their place in the semi-final. I think New Zealand are almost there, but they do have, obviously, this match to navigate, and then what could be a massive must-win match for England in a couple of days' time up in Durham. So it's important to keep momentum in these tournaments. Australia has been a team that's actually slightly better every game they've played. They didn't come into the tournament as favourites, but they have, at the moment, are the form team in the event, along with India, and they've just got better and better and better. And, of course, they, for me, possess the best bowler in the tournament in Mitchell Starc, and I'm really looking forward to the clash today because I think the best bowler, Mitchell Starc, is taking on, for me, the best batsman in the tournament, Kane Williamson, so far. He's not the top run scorer, they've been so influential in the innings he's played. So I'm really looking forward to that battle when New Zealand come to bat later this afternoon here in London.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned a couple of those players there, because I've been really impressed with the way New Zealand have gone about their business in this competition. One man who's really stood out for me as well, and I wonder if you could give us your thoughts as a black hat love yourself, Lockie Ferguson. I mean, he seems to have hit the floor running in this tournament.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember, guys, we spoke to him a couple of months ago when we were down at Barasti and Lockie was on tour, and he's a little bit of an unsung hero, but he's a genuine pace bowler, which is hard to find, and we tend to have a lot of guys that bowl medium pace and swing the ball, the likes of Tim Southee, Trent Bolt's been a star performer, Colin de Granholm opened the bowling today. Now, he's a guy you look at and you think, he's a club cricketer, you know, he's a guy that comes in and bowls medium pace, but he did a really good job with the new ball today. And, Lockie Ferguson, he's got an extra yard of pace. He's a wicket taker. And it's interesting to see. He will be due to come into attack very shortly. And it'll be interesting to see how he goes with the Aussie top order now. But Steve Smith at the crease and Usman Khawaja. Khawaja, of course, hasn't had a great tournament to date. But Australia has elected to stay with their same side today. So he's batting three. And, of course, Steve Smith, the previous captain, obviously put by the controversy in the last 12 months, is also at the crease. But Australia had a bit of a rebuilding job to do here.
Oh, it's just, we were speaking about it a little bit earlier on the show. Currently, how is the mood in the UK, especially with the performance of England at the moment? Are there a lot of worried fans? Of course, big, big question marks. Will England make it into that semi-final spot?
Well, I can tell you what, England are under pressure, aren't they? Home tournament, they've lost three matches already, and it looks like Pakistan are going to win today, I think. I mean, I think Afghanistan will score somewhere in excess of 200, but you would, all things being equal, you'd expect Pakistan to get the victory today over Afghanistan. That will take them ahead of England. And England, of course, have to play India tomorrow. What a massive match that's going to be. And then they may have to win that match and they may have to get past the Black Caps. So it's been an interesting week because the English players seem to have a little bit of a thief mentality at the moment. They're blaming the weather, then they blame the wickets, and then they seem to be, the pundits seem to be turning on them. So it seems to be not all as healthy as possible in the English camp. They're under a little bit of pressure. Jason Roy's been injured. He might be coming back into the team, but yeah, you know what? Three losses, they're under pressure now. Let's see how they perform tomorrow against India, which was a massive game in this event.
Now, Mark Archer, I know you, and you're a little like me. You are a tight individual. You're doing a bit of sofa surfing on a certain Nick Compton's sofa, I believe. What is Compo's thoughts on this Cricket World Cup? And I think there's a little tale about Compo you can tell us as well.
We won't get too much. You don't know. I'm lucky to say with good friends of the show, Nick Compton, former England and Middlesex batsman. I've got my good friend over, a couple of Aussie friends over from Switzerland, so we're staying in a hotel tonight. And Nick's a little bit nervous. When you talk about England again, I think former players and the fans and the pundits are thinking this was supposed to be England's tournament. They came in as the hot form team over the last 4 years, and the thing I said at the start of the tournament, it's going to be how they deal with the pressure of being favourites. And that Owen Morgan stood up to the media and said, look, you know, we're dealing with it. It's not an issue. Don't worry about it. But there just seems to be a bit of a siege mentality at the moment. Yeah, a good friend, Nick Compton, yeah, he's enjoying himself. He's happy in retirement and having a good time.
Hi, Mark. Monty here. Good afternoon. How are you?
Monty, how are you going, mate? Right. Big game tomorrow, friends, yeah?
Yeah, huge game. Huge game for us and England, of course. England in a must-win situation. Talking about the game today, New Zealand have made two changes. Ish Sodhi for Matt Henry and Henry Nichols for Colin Munro. Any reason as to why a spinner has been taken for a pace bowler? Is it a spin wicket today?
Yeah. Interesting you say that. Of course, so Ish Sodhi's come in. He's a leg spinner. He's a wicket-taking bowler. He's very attacking. And Mitch Sutton is left. So maybe it's a rotation, but the pitches in the UK have been dry and stopping a bit so far. So I think they want to get Sodhi into the tournament, give him a game. But they're obviously going to lose the left-arm spin of Mitch Sutton and the longer batting that he provides. New Zealand have had a problem with their opening bats in this tournament. Martin Guptill, who hasn't really fired yet. And, of course, Colin Munro really hasn't really got going at all. So Henry Nicholls is more of a sort of an archetypical sort of long-form player. He's a test match record. He's a bit more technically correct. Munro, I would say, and Guptill are a bit are sort of hit-and-miss players. A bit. They want to get it off to a quick start to take a lot of risks. Nicholls is more of a steady player. He'll bat for periods of time. And that's, I think, what they need. New Zealand batting lineup has relied on Kane Winston at the majority of the overs, hold the team together, and other players make cameos around them. Now, you can't go far in a tournament like this relying on one player. And Kane Williamson has been outstanding. He's led from the front. He's won matches for New Zealand, batting through tough situations. He's a smart cricketer, a canny cricketer, but the other batsmen are going to have to step up. Ross Taylor in the middle order. Tom Wilson's going to have to get some runs, but it's so important for New Zealand to get off to a solid start, not put pressure on Kane Williamson. You don't want him exposed to that new ball. Give him some protection and just take your time. The teams that have done well in the tournament are the teams that have batted their full 50 overs, not the flashy teams, the teams that have just done what they've had to do. You know, so it hasn't been a team for like of England. It's suiting their style here. It forces for courses. So two changes for New Zealand for this match.
Archie, we won't keep you any longer. I know what your icon, mate. I was going to say get yourself back into the stands, get yourself back to your seat, but I know you haven't left the Harris Garden since you've arrived, mate. So I'll let you get back to where we all should be today. Enjoy this game, my friend, and enjoy your stay over in the UK.
Yeah, take it easy, guys. And, looking forward. It's been a great afternoon here and early evening. The lights come on later as it goes down, and it's nothing better than a pack of horse on a summer's day in London. So take it easy, guys.
Good on you, Arch. Big thanks to Mark Archer joining us live from Lords there. We're just seeing pictures down here at Kickers of Lords. It is absolutely beautiful down there today.
I'm so jealous of that, man. It's not often I'm jealous of Mark Archer, but I'm jealous today is what I am.
And he chose the weather.
Yeah.
Only Archie's luck.
Yeah. He's a charmy so-and-so. It does look resplendent, though, and I know you've been there. You've loved it, Tom. You've been there many a time. When the weather is like that, you've got a couple of early wickets. Oh, I'm jealous.
That's all right. We're okay at Kickers.
No, we are.
We are down here at Kickers at Dubai Sports City. If you are looking for somewhere to watch the cricket, two games of cricket, the ICC Cricket World Cup, get yourself down here now, and we will have all the latest for you next.
This is The Grill, live from Kickers Sports Bar, where the game is always on.
Cracking atmosphere down here at Kickers, cracking atmosphere in the world of sport at the moment. Live. Let's get some updates for you. Women's World Cup, first of the quarterfinals, the schedule for today has got underway. Italy taking on the Netherlands here, 9 minutes in, no goals as yet?
No goals as of yet, exactly that. 21 minutes actually on the clock. It remains Italy 0, Netherlands 0. This for a place in the semi-finals of this ongoing FIFA Women's World Cup. A little later this evening, 8:30 local time, it will be Germany, previous world champions, of course, that going up against another of the Scandinavian powerhouses, Sweden. We've seen Norway, they've been knocked out by England. Will Sweden follow suit, or will they spring somewhat of a surprise this evening? That's the big one I'll be keeping an eye on tonight from 8:30, but it is Italy 0, Netherlands 0.
Pakistan need 228 runs against Afghanistan if they are to keep their hope of qualifying for the last four alive. They need to win these last two games for them. So 228 will be the target for them. What's happening in the other game, New Zealand-Australia?
Our friend Mark Archer will be a very happy man. Steve Smith caught Guptill, bowled Ferguson. Australia 46 for 3 after 11 overs. What a start for New Zealand.
What a start.
Ragging rights over there. Let's get down to Austria now. Grand Prix qualifying.
Yeah, absolutely. Tom, disastrous Q1 for Racing Point. Sergio Perez out, Lance Stroll out, and the Williams woes continue. George Russell as well as Robert Kubica did not make it through to the Session 2. What I can tell you is Foster's in Session 1, Max Verstappen in the Red Bull. He's followed by the two Mercedes of Lewis Hamilton, Valtteri Bottas, then the Ferraris of Charles Leclerc and Sebastian Vettel as the boys go into Session 2 of final qualifying.
So lots of live sport for us to get our heads around. And of course, Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Starts on Monday.
Monday. Yeah, a couple of days' time. Wimbledon is back. Cannot wait for this. Tennis is in a right good place right now. Obviously, from a British standpoint, Andy Murray making tentative steps in the doubles. But from just tennis in general, let's look at the men's draw. Roger Federer, of course, going for a ninth. Novak Djokovic, a make him favourite. Rafa Nadal coming off the back of winning, what was it, a 12th? A 12th or 13th?
12th.
12th French Open, yeah, 12th. Yes. I lose count, he's won so many. He's coming off the back of doing that. Then on the women's side, you've got Ashleigh Barty flying the flag for Australia. Yeah. Winner of the French Open. Winner in Birmingham last week as well. Serena Williams, huge success there, of course, at Wimbledon. The women's game is so open. Garbini Muguruza has had success. Simona Halep's had success on the grass as well in recent years.
So
Angelique Kerber, Petra Kvitova. So you can tell from my enthusiasm in my voice, Tom, that I'm excited for the next fortnight. It is wide, wide open. And yeah, fingers crossed we get some fantastic tennis.
Yeah, unfortunately, Angie Kerber just missed out in the last half an hour, didn't she? She went down to Karolina Pliskova, so your friend of mine, our fave Ange, has gone down. But that's a nice little tee-up, isn't it? Obviously, that's that Eastbourne little warm-up for Wimbledon, which proves that she's in good form going in.
Absolutely.
To the new week.
She's been a former finalist, hasn't she, Angie? She's someone who on her day is as good as anyone, and that's the beauty of Wimbledon, the grass. There's so finite amount of opportunities. We saw Roger Federer win his 102nd ATP Tour singles title over in Halle. We saw Feliciano Lopez win at Queens, of course. So it's all set up beautifully. And from the draw, the big thing that leaps out to you is that Roger Federer and Rafa Nadal on the same half. So they would play each other, all being well, in the semi-finals. Novak Djokovic in the side of the draw where Tsitsipas is in there. He's got a pretty... He's starting Philip Kohlschreiber, who is no mug. We've seen that here in Dubai. But you'd expect Novak to get over that one. The most intrigue around this, though, all being well, second round, Rafa Nadal against Nick Kyrgios. And he has lost to Nick Kyrgios at Wimbledon before. So I'm enthused by that one. Nadal's got a bit of a nightmare run. He will have to face Federer. Federer will be looking at it thinking, well, oof, if I'm going to do number nine, then I might just have to beat Nadal in the semis and then Novak in the final.
What's this about you going as well?
Absolutely, Tom. I will be on centre court on Tuesday and Wednesday at Wimbledon, so I'll be sending you boys a couple of picks just to let you know what the atmosphere is like. But yeah, I think it's once again going to be a fantastic tournament. So happy I can experience it myself. And I think, as you mentioned, Chris, a lot of contenders. I kind of feel it will be Roger's last hurrah. I think if there's one year that he can still really go for it, it's this year. The draw has to play out in his favour. And very interestingly, if Kyrgios, and we know what he can do, if he can create that upset, it might just par the way for Federer to get into that final, and what a story that would be. But I think going into Wimbledon at this moment on the men's side, I think it's difficult to look past Djokovic unless something really, really badly happens to him along the way. I think, you know, he should go on that side of the draw pretty easy. And I think the women's is going to be the most exciting part of the tournament, because to me it's wide open. There's quite a lot of contenders, but I think with their experience, I think Angelique Kerber, I kind of do fancy her. She's won there before. She knows what to do. So
And looking at, to be fair, to go back to what Carl's just mentioned there, looking at Novak Djokovic's run, and I appreciate there's a lot of speculation. We don't know how it's going to pan out, but he's in the same side as Felix Kohlschreiber, as I mentioned. He'll take him on in that opening round. You've got Gael Monfils, you've got Félix Auger-Aliassime, the young Canadian, just 18 years of age, a future world number one, make no mistake about that. Grigor Dimitrov, who has been almost the, not forgotten man per se, but has he really fulfilled the potential and the nickname the baby fed? Probably not. Stefanos Tsitsipas, who again is someone who is going to win majors in the next decade, no doubt in my mind about that. And then Daniil Medvedev. So looking at all of that, Novak Djokovic, I think, is an absolute stick on to be in the final.
There's one player who we haven't spoken about, Kevin Anderson. I think he tends to perform quite well at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
If you remember, there was a marathon game Kevin Anderson played.
Roger.
It went on for, I think, 8 or 9 hours.
He played Roger at length last year. He was two sets, took him, beat him in five sets, did Kevin Anderson, got to the final and just didn't have anything left in the tank against Novak Djokovic. You're absolutely right, he's no mug. He's had an indifferent season with injuries and form. However, this may be the tournament over the next fortnight that brings out the best in the big Safa.
I don't know. As much as I support him, of course, he's South African, I think he's a great talent, but he just doesn't have the all-round game for Wimbledon. You know, I kind of feel if he's especially up against a good returner that can move him around, He does not move well. He's got his serve, and I kind of feel that's his only weapon. And if his serve's not working on the day, he comes unstuck. I think, to your point, he could make it to a quarterfinal, I kind of see him, but getting past there, I hope I'm wrong, but I very much doubt it.
Big John Eisner, you can guarantee he's got a game in.
That's the one who went a marathon with, wasn't it? John Eisner, who he's Nicholas Mahut, and then it was John Eisner last year with Kevin Anderson. So, yeah, I mean, John Eisner is someone on his day again. Is he good enough, though, to beat a Novak, a Rafa, and a Roger when it really matters most at the business end of a major? No, he isn't. But that, nonetheless, you don't take him for granted because he's got that huge serve of his.
One thing I'll be interested to see, talking about British hopefuls, it'll be interesting to see what Joanna Konta can do. She had a very, very good French Open. I kind of thought that, I don't know if it was a bit unlucky from her or just not good enough planning. I kind of felt she gave it away in the end there. She will learn from that, Chris, and it'll be interesting to see. Of course, she will have the fans right behind her at Wimbledon, and I kind of think if she can get one or two things right, she could go far in the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely, with you on that front as well. In many respects, she's got the kind of British hopes in the main or with her. Yes, Kyle Edmonds, a good player in the British number one, but I think if Britain is to celebrate someone in the latter stages, I think it will be Joanna Konta in the women's side of the draw. She is a wonderful talent. In many respects, I'm a little disappointed she's yet to actually break her Grand Slam hoodoo. She's been close. She's reached a couple of semi-finals in the past. So if Britain is to celebrate, it may well be through Joanna Konta over the course of the next fortnight.
I'm just looking at all the screens down here at Kickers, and every single one of them is resplendent in sunshine. Just look at the Formula One behind Austria. You over there as well. That's absolutely boiling over in Austria. Boiling in the UK. It's boiling everywhere else at the moment. Is there any bad weather anywhere at the world at the moment?
I'm not quite sure there is. There's a heat wave that is taking over the planet, which is nice to see.
Europe, North Africa.
Yeah. Copa America has had great. I think there is something to be said, though. When the sun is out, no matter the sporting event, it is always far better. Now, there might be one or two people saying, hold on a sec, Chris, have you watched F1 lately? Give us rain, and more rain, just to add a little bit of kind of intrigue to proceedings. But yeah, when all sports are bathed in sunshine, it's the same at the start of a new football season. When the grass is that much greener, the brand new strips, the sun out, that's when sport, it's right at the top of its peak. And it's the same for Wimbledon in the next 2 weeks as well.
Who was I talking to yesterday? On Thursday, Paul Bryson from Virtusone came into the studio, big Celtic fan. And he was telling me that he's looking at going to one of Celtic's games next week. And I went, you what? He said, yeah, we've got one of our normal sort of European qualifier games or whatever.
Is it in Armenia?
Sarajevo.
Sarajevo. So he's going to get a cheap flight and pop on
over. He's going to go over there from there. I said, what do you mean? He said, yeah, we've had about three warm-up games already. So, I mean, talk about the start of the season.
Yeah, football season is up and running. I mean, European football now. I know Aberdeen Football Club as well. They're back in pre-season already in advance of their playoff matches to get into Europe in particular. So, yeah, it's crazy. International football tournaments ongoing with the Copa America and African Cup of Nations. Some teams already back in pre-season. I know Brighton are back, for example. They went back earlier this week. Yeah, the club season will be around before you know it.
At £100,000 a week? Boys, you got to work. Got to work.
You know, Chris, there's one thing I'm just concerned about. It's Copa America, the AFCON ongoing. How fresh are these players going to turn up for club football next season? They've had a hard season. Mosala played till the last game, that is the Champions League. You had Victor Wanyama playing for Tottenham. You know, I mean, they're playing in temperatures over 40 now in Africa, and the Copa America. Messi, played Liverpool until the semi-finals. Yeah. I'm not too sure how fresh they're going to be and how are they going to start the season.
It's the sports science boys. They'll keep a look at them. It's about staggering their reintroduction into club football at the start of next year. It's about managing their bodies, but of course, these guys are finely tuned athletes, as you well know, Kyle. And I know you love having a pop at them. For what, 3 hours a day in their big manicured lawns and mansions, we can't feel too sorry for them. At the end of the day, they've got to run around for 90 minutes. They are, they're pampered so-and-sos. I don't want to feel too much sympathy for them.
Let's take a short break when we come back. More sympathy by the bucket load from the Grill team.
Unbelievable goal!
This is The Grill, live from Kickers Sports Bar, where the game is always on.
You are listening to The Grill, broadcasting live from Kickers. We're about to get the Pakistan reply underway. Nice little touch here from Bangladesh. creating a tunnel to welcome the players onto the field. So we'll keep an eye on that one. Afghanistan taking on Pakistan in the early start in the cricket. So 228 the target there. What about the Trans-Tasman clash? New Zealand taking on Australia.
Australia currently 61 for the loss of 3 wickets after 14 overs. Slow progress here, especially after losing 3 early wickets. David Warner, Finch and Steve Smith out. And New Zealand have a good chance here to qualify for the semi-finals tonight.
Any goals yet?
No goals yet. I'm keeping an eye on that one in the FIFA Women's World Cup quarter-final match between Italy and Netherlands. Still 0-0, Tom.
What about the Formula One?
Yeah, what I can tell you is Charles Leclerc is edging closer and closer to break Bottas's track record. He is currently leading the qualifying in session 2. The Ferrari, Charles Leclerc 1, Sebastian Vettel 2, Max Verstappen of Red Bull 3, Lewis Hamilton of Mercedes 4, Valtteri Bottas of Mercedes 5, Pierre Gasly of Red Bull 6, and then of course Lando Norris of McLaren having a very, very good run this afternoon. He's currently in 7th position.
Very good indeed. Right, let's go back to the cricket, because we've got Pakistan taking on Afghanistan at the moment. It's not often, is it, that you're great? If you think of someone like a Wasim Akram, it's not often, is it, that you think someone like Wasim is stuck for words or starstruck when it comes to meeting other sports stars? But apparently it is, and it's been a lovely little piece that's being commissioned by the ICC, that after all these years, Wasim, by all accounts, idolises Jahangir Khan, the great squash player. Never got the opportunity to meet until the Cricket World Cup.
Hi guys, I have a very special guest with me. You talk about supporting icons, you talk about the legends, you talk about the best sportsman, the greatest sportsman the world have ever seen. One and only, my favourite, Jahangir Khan. Welcome, Jahangir Bhai.
Thank you, Amaji.
You know, you 10 years, 10 British Opens, and then 566 games without losing a game. 555, beg your pardon. I said 56, one game more. Without losing a game, we talk about consistency. We talk about performance, performing all the time. Is it more in your, was in your mind, or was it the hard work you put in over the years?
Well, to be honest, Wasim, I would say that it was all hard work, and I never meant to make any kind of record. But when I was playing the professional circuit, I always, you know, like believed in training, and I always wanted to do the best, to be number one and to perform well as well. So I think that was really kept me going all the time, and I was more focused, more disciplined, and I was doing 8 hours daily routine training. So I think that's really paid me off with that.
I used to watch him play with 2 under-19 champions. He used to play in the middle alone, and he used to win every time. I mean, the best sportsman produced by Pakistan, my hero. Who is your favourite cricketer right now in the entire World Cup happening in England?
In batting, I would say Virat Kohli.
Okay.
And in bowling, I think the Mitchell Starc.
Wow. Pick the right favourite. Virat Kohli, number one batsman, and Mitchell Starc, the top wicket taker in this World Cup so far. Jahangir Bhai, let me take you to introduce you all the commentators and show you how we work.
Okay.
It seems very easy, but it's not. It appears people think it's very easy. No, you don't have to be. You can scream if you want to.
Okay.
When you walk in, not a problem. It's you. It's Jahangir Khan, the greatest sportsman ever. This is our commentary box. Simon Dole is commentating. It's World Feed, ICC World Feed. It looks comfortable. Our call time is at 8 o'clock in the morning.
I know.
Everybody comes at 10. We come at 8 o'clock. We open the gates.
It's like a school, huh?
It's like a school.
Going back to the school.
Absolutely. A lot of hard work, guys.
I'm sure.
Buzz, Brendan McCullum, the greatest sportsman of all time, the great Jahangir Khan. And this is Ian Smith, who played against me in the 92 World Cup.
Absolute honour, sir. An absolute honour. I watched you play against Ross Norman.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right,
absolutely.
Yeah. That's right.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Terrific, eh?
I know. Legend.
Absolute legend. A legend of the sport.
We talk about Muhammad Ali, we talk about Tiger Woods. Yes. And then we talk about Jahangir Khan.
Yeah, we do. Absolutely, we do. I remember him so well. You and I, we might have changed shape a wee bit, but I tell you what, we've got the memories. We've got the memories. I think you'd still beat me, though.
Easily. Pure class.
Amazing. You love your cricket too?
Yeah, I always followed, and I think I've watched many matches around here or different places. And I think since late 70s.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been watching from dressing room. I think Wasim remembers.
70s, younger. Yeah. You're only 56, yeah?
Yeah. But I started very early as well. See? In 79, I was already in the circuit. So yeah. I was world amateur champion when I was 15. That was in
amateur Melbourne. Champion?
Yeah, in Melbourne, yeah. Yeah. That was in 79.
So 10 British Opens in a row. And how many world championships?
Six world championships, yeah.
Six world championships.
Was Matt Graham in conversation with the great Jahangir Khan there. Two leaders in their respective sports. Talking of the sport, drama aplenty in it. Let's get some more updates, Monty.
Yeah, talking about the great man, Pakistan are not in a very good position at the moment. They've just lost their first wicket in the first over by ball Mujibur Rahman. Fakhar Zaman out, LBW, second ball.
Oh. A lengthy appeal as well, wasn't there? There was drama here. I was looking at it. We were squinting from our vantage point down here. It is LBW, and they have a wicket down after just the second ball of
He's
the innings.
Fascinating character as well. In fact, let's find out more about the bowler who took that wicket. He's a young star, 18 years old, in fact. Mujibur Rahman. And imagine the pressure on his shoulders. Yeah. 18 years old, yeah. Open the bowling.
Yeah, I mean... I think he's a brilliant prospect for Afghanistan, and we've seen that he's been picked in the IPL as well, and an Afghanistan player representing the IPL is a fantastic achievement for a nation like Afghanistan. I mean, what can I say? Afghanistan are bringing in very good talents in the form of Nabi Mujibur Rahman. And it's fantastic for the sport of for cricket.
Mujibur Rahman is the man who's made that early breakthrough. He's taken the wicket in the first over of this Pakistan reply. Just 18 years old. Let's hear more about him from his teammates. Nabi talking about Mujib.
Yeah, just talk. This camera is off.
Yeah, we'll practice first.
Yeah, just practice first.
Nabi
was coach. He's not talking English.
Oh,
I can't bowl like Mujib because he can cannonball and wrong one as well, flip the ball as well.
For me, it's very easy, like carom ball or googly. That's all my strong one.
He learned in his house. He learned just with the tennis ball. He's bowled brilliantly in under 16 in Asia Cup, and in the most of the game he took 4, 5 to 6 wickets in one game. And the same year, to play Under 19 World Cup as well. And these guys are brilliant in reach to semi-final as well. It's mean there's a lot of talents in Afghanistan, not just a Mujib. Yet. Really happy to play with Mujib, with Rash in the World Cup. It's coming more like this kind of talents. Inshallah, after the World Cup, more youngster in the squad as well. He's an attacking bowler. During the game, sometimes he can lose his line and length. Sometimes he can bowl shortly as well. Then I can come to talk with him, that relax, keep calm, and focus on you and on your line and length, what you're doing. Then he can come back again.
When I play with Nabi and senior player in the ground, they know the all condition, like India, England, everywhere. I am asking to Nabi, help me a lot.
Most of the time, he will be in my room as well, drinking tea, protein shake as well. Now it's most of the time when the youngsters are coming, I'm support a lot.
For me now, better bowling. When start the World Cup first, so two matches, confidence low. Play not well, and after this, when I talk to Nabi, how can I do in this condition, bowling? He says, every player is like a confidence, everything is coming, but just thinking positive, he will bowl, inshallah, good, better. But now this last three matches, I bowl very better. I'm happy.
Perfect. That's really, really good. See, your English is great.
I have confidence now in English.
See, now you got confidence in English. This is a good
guy
as well.
But here is a camera. Here is a camera with his confidence.
Good to see what Afghanistan have brought to the party at this year's ICC Cricket World Cup. A learning experience for them, but obviously a team with a huge amount of talent, and they'll be around for a very long time.
Yeah, Afghanistan, for me, I mean, hats off to them. They have qualified, as we know, the top eight nation. It was West Indies and Sri Lanka who had to qualify for this World Cup. So 10 out of 10 for that. However, their journey hasn't been what was expected. We thought we would see an upset somewhere down the line. But they will come back stronger, in my opinion, in the next
Maybe
World Cup.
Maybe today's the day, though.
Today could be the day.
I'm just trying to work out from an English point of view, not being selfish or anything like that. Well, I am being selfish. Do we want to see Pakistan lose today, I suppose, from an England point of view?
Yeah, if you're an England fan right now, you should be supporting Afghanistan. Absolutely. Any team that comes up against Pakistan, Bangladesh, you need to be supporting the other ones in this. But Pakistan have now just scored 10. Pretty quickly there, so they're 10 for the loss of one wicket.
They have an informed batsman, Babar Azam, and as far as I remember, he played a fantastic knock against New Zealand last time. He got 100, and I think he became the third fastest to get to 3,000 runs. And they're comparing Babar Azam to the likes of Virat Kohli. I'm not too sure if he's going to achieve what Virat Kohli has, but that's already a very good compliment for a young player like Babar Azam. So let's see how far Afghanistan take this fight to Pakistan.
It is an amazing story. When you look across all sports at what Afghanistan have done, obviously it's well documented from a political point of view what that country has gone through over the past decade. For them, through all of that, to continue their growth as a cricketing team, nation, to do what they've done, it is remarkable. It really is. And they're not just there. They're there on merit. They bloodied the nose of India a few weeks, or this time last week, of course. They went oh so close. You were pointing out as well in the Asia Cup, they got a draw against India. That, for me, it's quite remarkable, and long may that continue, because one of the things about sport, we talked rugby last week, Tom, and, you know, we're talking about the Jaguares, and people like Mark Archer up in arms about that. Sport's too much of a closed shop. It's important that we open up the doors to your Georgias in the case of rugby. In Afghanistan, I've walked through that door. The olive branch was offered to them, and they've gone on, and they're there on merit.
Well, the other thing as well, as long may that continue as well, and obviously a lot of that has to go through, you know, the help from the ICC, the money that's invested into Afghanistan cricket, because what I wouldn't want to see is, you know, them go down the route of like a Kenya cricket team or something like that. Was it 8 years ago, the Kenya made the semi-finals of, was Steve Ticklow and all that?
Yeah, I think that was the ICC Champions Trophy.
That was Champions Trophy. But you see, they made it through to the semi-final, Steve Ticklow and those sort of boys, and now, just
where
not
are they?
Yeah, where are they?
You're
where
right.
Have they gone now?
Yeah. I mean, it would be nice to see smaller nations next World Cup in the form of Scotland, Zimbabwe, the UAE, along with Afghanistan, make it,
see,
and we have more teams.
Well, that's interesting, because you know all that sort of lead up, the criticism the ICC came in for reducing the number of teams to just 10 for this one. But I think everyone will agree that the format has been great. You know, the format has really, really worked at the moment. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be difficult for them to change a winning format like this and introduce more teams.
Well, it's amazing, because up until probably a week past Thursday, it was getting criticised. I was one of those that criticised it. Then you had Sri Lanka do what they did to England on the Friday. And then in the past week, it's just sparked a deluge of some really interesting, really intriguing cricket matches. All of a sudden, it's all rosy in the garden again. Cricket fans are being enthused by what they're seeing. Australia are going through the rigmarole against New Zealand today. We've seen an early wicket this one. Afghanistan again. We saw yesterday South Africa come back and bite Sri Lanka on the backside. So all of a sudden, the Cricket World Cup again, there's genuine intrigue around it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, for New Zealand as well, they've been unbeaten. They lost the last game, of course, to Pakistan. But they need to win today to ensure a semi-final spot. Because if they lose to Australia today, then England versus New Zealand is almost a do or die as well for both the teams. Because Pakistan then could beat Bangladesh and then go on top of the table. They could be fighting for a spot for the third and fourth fourth spot with New Zealand. Having said that, India need to beat England to assure a spot in the semi-final, because if they lose tomorrow, then India would have to beat Bangladesh, and then India would have to beat Sri Lanka. So there are no easy games at the moment. This whole week is almost as good as a final, every match.
We will reflect more on the Cricket World Cup and, of course, wrap up on the other live sports in just a few moments' time. This is The Grill, broadcasting live from Kickoff.
You're listening to The Grill, bringing you the biggest sports stories right now
on Dubai i103.8.
Some great sports stories developing down here at Kickers. We're live from Kickers Sports Bar in the heart of Dubai Sports City. If you're around and about, get yourself down here. Great atmosphere down here. A lot of people cramming in to watch sports from different corners of the globe. Let's get over to Austria for all the latest from the Grand Prix.
Yeah, Tommy, what I can tell you is things are not looking good with Sebastian Vettel. There is some problems with his car, and the big question is, will they be able to get him out before the final qualifying session at this moment in time? A lot of people around the number five car of Sebastian Vettel. What I can tell you is the start of Q3, it was his teammate Charles Leclerc that is the quickest. Q3 is now underway, and I'll give you an update as those results come in.
We'll keep an eye on that one, as we will the cricket as well. Two games ongoing at the moment, Mons.
Yeah, Pakistan have lost the first wicket, but having said that, they're making steady progress now. It's Babar Azam and Imamul Haq on the crease, 21 for 1 after 3.2 overs. Australia are going slow and steady, 73 for 3 after losing those three early wickets. New Zealand would be quite confident of beating them today.
Meanwhile, over in France, a very hot France, we've got all the latest from the FIFA Women's World Cup.
Not much to update you on, Tom. It's halftime in the quarterfinal match between Italy and the Netherlands, I can tell you, other than a yellow card that was handed out to Alina Linari just a few moments before the halftime whistle. Nothing to report. Halftime over in France. It is Italy nil, the Netherlands nil. A little later this evening, Germany taking on Sweden. That one off at 8:30 local time here in the UAE.
Holders, the United States overcame France last night to book a semi-final date with England at the Women's World Cup. It was that girl again, Megan Rapinoe, who scored a goal in each half for the USA. She was the player of the game as well, spoke to the press straight afterwards.
Megan, it was a roller coaster of a match. Did you feel that there was a turning point in that match, and what was it?
For the worse, it's turning point for us being under the pump. Yeah, I mean, definitely towards the end of the first half, they had a lot of the ball, and we were defending more, and then second half was a bit of the same. Obviously, we got the early goal. That was huge. And we took our chance. We only created a few chances throughout the game, but I actually thought we were really dangerous down the left side. Getting there on the break, and sometimes that's what the game's all about, just moving on. So I'm so proud of our performance, huge defensive performance. It's extremely difficult to do that. It takes so much focus and effort to do that mentally, and just the grit that it takes from everyone in our back line. So really proud of the performance, and it's not easy to be under the pump like that for 65 minutes.
And you now have 5 goals in 4 games. Has there been one moment in this World Cup that has inspired you so far?
Oh, geez. I don't know, one moment. I mean, just seeing everyone rise to the occasion is inspiring every day. Obviously, seeing the back line and the midfielders, what they did against an incredibly talented French side today. Crystal Dunn, balling. She did so well. Becky Sauerbrunn stepping up again. Obviously, Kelly, Abby, everyone across the back line. It's just seeing all of them every day, you can't help but to put your butt in gear and do the right thing.
So women's soccer in a good place at the moment, no more so than over in the United States. They've had such great success with the system in the women's game in years gone by that obviously they will be one of the favourites for this.
Oh, they are. Absolutely they are, Tom. I said it to you. I think, Germany are no mugs. And I do expect Germany to make it to the final. They have been so good. They're rock solid. I mean, defensively, organisationally, they have been fantastic. But the USA remain the standard bearers. I said it to you. If England and Phil Neville's ladies can get a result against the USA, that is seismic. And I would expect England, if they were to beat USA in the semi-final, actually to go on and win it. I really believe that. The US of A, and Megan, you heard there, she scored 2 goals against Spain. She's a cracker. She's an absolute cracker. Cool under pressure. A wonderful finisher. And, the US of A, they are jam-packed that. I mean, we're not talking about Alex Morgan. We talked about Alex Morgan, the kind of poster girl, the poster woman, if you will, of US football at the start, her five goals against Thailand. But it's Megan who's come through. It's she that has been the kind of talismanic figure for this US of A side. That semi-final, Tom, we need to have a chat after the show. Whatever you're watching it, I'm watching it as well, because England against the US of A, I think it's on Tuesday night. It's going to be an absolute cracker in Lyon as well. So the atmosphere there, you won't get a ticket for love nor money.
We should give credit to Phil Neville. I mean, he's done a fantastic job with the England women's team. And I saw the goal the other day, Lucy Bronze.
Oh, what a
fantastic goal. I think the goal of the tournament.
Yeah.
And I watched the game last night, USA versus France. I fancy England to beat USA because I see the structure and system, the way they're playing. I didn't really like the way USA actually played against France last night, to be honest. But being USA, they have enough experience.
Yeah.
That's what probably is going to matter on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I think the experience, no doubt about that, goes with the US of A. But England have just got better and better and better as this competition has gone on. Lucy Bronze, Monty's absolutely right. The finish from a right back. I mean, Phil Neville after the game came out to say that for him, she is the best female player on the planet right now. What she gives that England team from a full-back position. I know full-backs in modern football are so important, but Lucy's come through, and you look at Steph Houghton, the centre-half, a lady that we spoke to last year on Off Script/Sports Tonight, and she's Manchester City's rock star. She's England's rock at the back there as well. So England have got a wonderful balance about them. That semi-final, I kid you not, it's going to be a belter. And I do feel, fundamentally, whoever wins that semi-final will win this Women's World Cup. I really believe that.
I think if I can just also Germany are playing like Germany.
Yeah.
I think they got
that's
like
a compliment.
They got like nine goals and four clean sheets in this tournament, and that's a recipe for going ahead. So I think Germany versus England could be a final for me.
Oh no! Penalties!
No.
Penalty heartache again.
Penalties. Phil Neville in a waistcoat. Right, fellas, thank you very much indeed. We're out of time on this occasion. Huge thanks to you, Mr. Monty.
Enjoy
the rest of the cricket. Steve Yard, great to have you back on. Enjoy Wimbledon, mate.
I will do, mate. Thank you very much.
Bring us some strawberries back, will you?
Will do, sir. Will do. Thanks for having me on.
Just don't tell Arch you're going over, because you know what he'll want.
No. I've kept that undercover. I won't be on social media either.
And, of course, to you, Mr. Chris McCarty, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Tom. Off home to prepare for that Germany-Sweden quarterfinal Women's World Cup.
We'll get ready for that one. To Bench and all of the team for keeping us on air here and back in the studio, thank you very much indeed. This is The Grill, broadcasting live each and every Saturday from Kickers in Dubai Sports City. Join us next week from 3. Till then, bye-bye.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.